Getting started in beekeeping. Introduction. Beekeeping is a rich and rewarding experience and a worthwhile endeavor if you are looking to start as a hobbyist or even have aspirations of becoming a commercial beekeeper. This guide is designed to provide practical and insightful advice on the steps for getting started and having a successful first year, which we hope will lead you to a lifetime pursuit in keeping bees. Keeping bees in your municipality. Adherence to any applicable laws and regulations. Beekeeping has been practiced for centuries, and it is probable that wherever you live, there are bees being hosted in an apiary somewhere in your vicinity. As a rule, the keeping of bees is not highly regulated or restricted at the municipal level, but given that bees are stinging insects, there are some municipalities that do impart restrictions or outright bans on keeping bees. Before hosting bees, be sure to know and follow applicable local and state laws. Also, be sure to obtain any necessary permits if they are required. If you are unfamiliar with your state or municipal laws, we suggest that you contact the local or state beekeeping association for guidance before you seek guidance with your municipality. They are often well-versed in the restrictions for the districts they serve and can provide assistance and information about keeping bees where you live. Speaking with fellow beekeepers first may prevent causing unwanted attention at the municipal level when officials are suddenly faced with answering an inquiry about making a decision to allow the hosting of stinging insects. While beekeeping is safe when practiced correctly, misconceptions and conservative opinions could lead to negative consequences at the municipal level for allowing the keeping of bees and also possibly result in unwanted impacts to beekeeping operations already established. We encourage you to do the right amount of diligence when it comes to ensuring that you are going to comply with applicable laws, regulations, and local ordinances. In addition to compliance to applicable regulations, beekeepers should be aware that state agencies often require registration of hives with the proper authorities, and beekeepers should expect that agents of the state can and will inspect hives on private property. Inspectors will also likely require beehives with designs that allow the frames that the bees live on to be movable so they can be taken out for inspection. This is opposed to the notion that bees could be kept in hives such as a tree trunk that cannot be taken apart and inspected for diseases and problems. Again, we recommend that you contact your local beekeepers association for hive registration information. New Jersey guidance. The state of New Jersey has three statutes concerning the keeping of bees at the time of this writing. In addition to the statutes, there is a mandatory requirement to register your bees with the New Jersey Department of Agriculture, and we strongly advise you to adhere to the published guide provided by the state entitled Guidelines for Keeping Bees in Populated Areas. Resources for this information and more are available at the State of New Jersey Department of Agricultural website, Bee Inspection Program, at the following web address: www.state.nj.us/agricultural/divisions/pi/prog/beeinspection.html. The best time to get started in beekeeping. Late winter is the ideal time to get started. New beekeepers will need bees to get started, and the January-February months are the appropriate time to place an order for spring delivery. The availability of bees for springtime, and more specifically, properly mated quality queens, is dictated by the arrival of suitable weather for companies that supply the bees. The highest proliferation of major bee suppliers are in the warmer climate states of Georgia, California, and Hawaii, as they get an earlier start than many parts of the country. High demands on bee suppliers, occur during the approach of spring because of the demand for bees in areas where winter is subsiding and beekeeping is starting up again. Even though warmer weather arrives earlier for the predominant areas where bees are sourced, the suppliers scramble each year to meet the demand. This is especially true given the recent popularity in beekeeping, which has resulted in more people keeping bees. Another reason to get your start in late winter is that it allows time for ordering and constructing equipment, preparing a site for bees to be hosted, and any other preparatory steps needed to get set up. Completing the preparation steps out of the way prior to the beekeeping season and subsequently getting bees set up at the onset of spring ensures that they have access to the best food and resources available to them through nature. A springtime start also gives a colony sufficient time to grow and mature, which in turn will get them to a state where they can build enough bees and create enough stores to successfully overwinter. Time investment and expected expenses. Initial time investment and ongoing expectations. How much time will it take? The time investment for a new beekeeper will include a moderate amount of time in the beginning setting up your bee yard, obtaining and preparing your equipment, and getting things up and running. Once things settle in, it will mean a period of once or twice a week oversight, with more time investments required for harvesting honey, treatments, or any other activities that require more than the typical health and well-being inspections. To judge the moderate activity mentioned, beehives shipped in the mail come unassembled, and two hives can take a beginner about 2 weekends worth of time for assembly. The boxes and equipment can be assembled in a matter of hours if you are handy, but you will want to take your time to become familiar with the parts and pieces and allow for the painting tasks that are part of the effort. Preparing a site will differ for each situation. Later in this guide, there will be information about where to set up a bee yard for optimal exposure, and that will dictate if you need to clear an area or just set the bees out on a spot that is ready to go. Some equate beekeeping to housing simple livestock like chickens or taking care of a garden. This is a reasonable comparison as bees do require periodic checks and at certain times appropriate maintenance like any other live animal and therefore a moderate amount of interaction. Noted Honeybee magazine editor Kim Flottam has been quoted as saying, "The time required for keeping two hives in your backyard is to figure that it will take more time than you need to properly care for your cat, but less time than needed to take care of your dog." The reasoning here is that if a cat has access to a food bowl and a litter box, then it is likely they can get by for a few days. Dogs, on the other hand, will need to be fed each day, and you'll have to take them outside. Once in a hive, bees need looking into every few days or once a week, but you don't have to check on them every single day. The initial build-out of your hives may or may not require you to pick up your bees. It will depend upon the approach that you employ. Installing package bees for two hives will usually take about an hour, and one can expect to provide oversight on the first few weeks to ensure the colony is growing and to step in and provide more space and time when the hive boxes start to fill out and more space is required. The bees will require water, and you'll have to feed them when they are starting out, or at least until there is a nectar flow. After the nectar flow, you'll also need to feed a new colony to ensure that they have what they need to grow to full strength. Once the hives are established, beekeepers can live by the general guide that the beekeeping season starts in early spring and continues until just after the first frost. Most times, the winter period requires very minimal interaction with the hives while the bees overwinter. If you are in a zone where bees do not have an overwinter, then the season will run all year long with some dormant times when the conditions are 40 to 45 degrees or lower. One-time costs and yearly costs. One-time costs. The bulk one-time costs will typically center upon the purchase of equipment and personal gear. Common figures cited are around $250 US for a hive, plus the shipping costs to wherever you reside. Many beekeeping suppliers offer free shipping for this equipment. Do note that this cost often does not include the extra boxes that are needed for bees to store honey, so the actual cost of a hive setup with honey boxes is really around $350 US. Gear for personal protection is also an additional cost and will vary depending upon what you opt to purchase. Some will only purchase a veil and go the long-sleeved clothing route, while others will want to have a full suit. Veils range anywhere from $10 to $30, while a full suit can run anywhere from $80 to $150 or more in the mainstream market. There are children's sizes and petite sizes too, and they tend to run a little lower than the full adult sizes. A smoker, hive tool, and other necessities are a must-have, and these will likely set you back another $50. All told, the odds and ends will add up somewhere to around $450 to $550 equipment-wise to get your first year up and running with one hive. We recommend that you start with two hives, and if you follow that recommendation, then you could plan to a budget another $250. The purchase of bees is separate from the startup cost and is the next biggest expenditure. Bees are often purchased in either a package or by buying a nucleus hive configuration, which in essence is a full hive in miniature. Packages are less expensive than the cost of a nucleus colony, and depending upon the size of the package purchased and whether you pick them up or get them through the mail, they are often quoted around $75 to $85, but prices vary widely depending upon supplier. Nucleus hives, or nukes as they are known, are more expensive but provide a more established colony to start with. Other costs that have to be considered for keeping bees is the cost of harvesting honey. There are several methods that can allow a beekeeper to extract honey inexpensively, but some nominal cost should be expected. If the beekeeper wishes, they can invest in an extractor which spins the honey out of the honeycomb. The prices for extractors vary widely, and a basic model can go for over $400. A typical approach in beekeeping circles is for an association to purchase an extractor and loan it to beekeepers who need to share the costs. Sometimes a group of individuals will go in and purchase one machine and share it amongst the owners. Compared to startup costs for other pastimes, beekeeping is a relatively inexpensive hobby once the initial investment is out of the way. Yearly costs. The yearly costs for beehives center on three areas: feeding the bees, medicating the bees if needed, and equipment maintenance. In a perfect world, bees would get by with what nature provides and there would be no need to supplement their diets. There are, however, times where natural forage is not available and supplemental feed is necessary. This typically means buying bags of regular cane sugar from a supermarket or discount chain, such as Costco or Sam's Club. Sugar is mixed with water and provided to the bees as a syrup or in a candy configuration. When times require it, you can often get by with expenditures of less than $50 a hive. Bees may require medication or treatments to ensure the hive remains healthy. The varroa mite is a common pest that often has to be dealt with to keep the bees in good order. Expect to budget anywhere from $35 to $50 a year for treatments. The third cost is about keeping your equipment in good working order. Hive equipment is fairly durable and often has a long shelf life if well painted. The boxes will last several years before requiring replacement if well maintained. Sometimes, through normal use, equipment becomes damaged or lost and requires replacement. A nominal amount should be planned for each year. How to get started? Attend a class. Attending a beginning beekeeping class is sound advice. Long-standing bee classes are conducted with curriculum that is sound and delivered by senior beekeepers who have practical knowledge. Beginner classes can be hosted by state organizations, schools, local bee clubs, and even colleges. Different beginner classes can range from a few hours to one day, to a couple of days, and even longer. There is a type of class in beekeeping referred to as a short course. These short courses typify a class that was designed to be a comprehensive introduction for new beekeepers and often are a full introduction to all that you will need to manage your bees until you get established and can manage on your own. Most beekeeping courses are offered in the early spring just prior to the beekeeping season. They are popular and fill up fast, so the recommendation is, if there is a course that meets your needs, do not delay in securing a registration. How to get started? Join an association. Joining a local or regional bee club is a prudent step to getting started in the pursuit of keeping bees. Associations are a valuable source of information and provide a place where one can ask questions and learn from the experience of others. Most associations have seasoned beekeepers that share information with the club and cater to the success of new beekeepers. In addition to the members of the associations, it is common practice for the clubs to bring in speakers from academia, other bee clubs, state agencies, and other sources to help support and educate the members. Another strong reason to join an association is the interaction with other beekeepers who are new and learning at the same time you are. The networking and exchange camaraderie with new beekeepers is strong. How to get started, Part 3. Find a mentor. As a new beekeeper, it is normal to feel insecure and even experience anxiety when working with your bees for the first few times, and having a mentor can be an invaluable aid when getting started. If, as a new beekeeper, you can secure a mentor, then you'll have access to someone to call when times require a consultation. It should be noted, however, that sometimes mentors are hard to come by. There is often competition for seasoned beekeepers' time, and one can't forget that they likely have their own operation to take care of. If you can find a mentor, then all the better. If you cannot, however, joining an association is the next best thing. It is easier for a seasoned beekeeper to speak to a group at a planned meeting than to commit to one-on-one sessions with individual beekeepers. It should be noted that some associations have specifically taken actions to put a mentoring program in place to aid new beekeepers, and if you belong to one and they don't have one, consider suggesting this. Location of the bee yard. Introduction. The location of where you will host your bees is an important aspect of beginning beekeeping. Two requirements stand out among many, and they center upon placing your bees where they will not be a harm to others, and placing your bees where they will not be compromised by the environment around them. Be a good neighbor. Whenever considering a bee yard, one must ensure that the bees will not be a nuisance to others or a danger to the public. Special consideration should be given at all times, and especially when keeping bees in populated areas. Setbacks from property borders, concern for neighbors who are adverse to bees, and knowledge of anyone who is subject to life-threatening allergies when stung are important matters that cannot be ignored when choosing a bee yard. More specifically, putting anyone in harm's way is just not an acceptable risk, and the selection of a different location must be done. One should equally consider any potential harm to other living animals. Keep bee yards away from penned or chained livestock or pets if there is a potential risk of injury. For the good of beekeeping, and for your own personal good, it is recommended that you manage your neighbor's expectations. If you have a good relationship with your neighbors and the situation is right, make the appropriate communication as needed. If, however, you do not have a good relationship or have any doubts about how your bees will be received, then you should take whatever measures necessary to get clearance before investing the time and energy to place your bees. Bad neighbor relationships rarely result in a good outcome, and the bees will more than likely become an immediate source of contention. There are alternatives that can solve some problems and may still allow you to keep bees on your property if conditions are not ideal. Constructing barriers so the bees fly up and over something is one example. Putting bees on a roof is another. On a roof, the bees could be out of sight and out of mind as they fly higher than one would expect, so no one is alarmed by the bees coming and going. If you do have a situation where some problem needs to be solved as a result of bee placement, seek advice from experienced beekeepers, as they may be able to give you options that can resolve the issue at hand. If you have a property that is an outright no-go for keeping bees, or something comes up that prevents you from hosting, consider seeking a land use permission arrangement with another property owner. There are often farm properties, orchards, garden clubs, or other opportunities that would allow you to host bees for a nominal cost or even for free. Picking a location for success. The location in which you place your equipment is important for the survival of the bees. The right location will have protection from the elements, be near a water and food source, and in a location that provides proper protection from bears, skunks, and other potential predators. A variety of plants in the vicinity of the bee yard is desirable as it provides the best chance for nectar stores and pollen throughout the active seasons. A site to keep bees should be level and in an area that is dry. Wet areas could cause moisture problems for the bees, and drier is better. On the topic of moisture, do consider flood zones and keep your bees away from any area that has the potential to flood. Avoid low spots in the yard where cold, damp air accumulates in the winter. Consider on your property where the last place is for the snow to melt or the ground to firm up after a heavy rain and realize that that is not where you want to place your bees. Protection from wind, especially in winter, is advisable. Windbreaks can be erected from hay bales or even planting some shrubs or small trees. Lastly, hives should be placed for easy access and provide the beekeeper with the means to perform whatever maintenance is required during any season. It is recommended that the hives be placed in full sun if possible or light shade. Shade can sometimes foster pests such as the small hive beetles, ants, and wax moths. Typically, hives do best facing in a southeasterly direction or toward the morning sun, as this warms up the hive and gets the bees active. It also dries out the hive from the morning dew and moisture. Bees will fly from the hive on cleansing flights, and surfaces under the flight path can be stained or damaged with spots as a result of the bees defecating. Hives should be placed where bees are not flying over cars or other items that could be damaged. You also do not want the bees to be flying over sidewalks, walking paths, or any places where pedestrians are possible. Revisiting the topic of water, bees will find a water source, and it is hard to break the habit if it happens to be your neighbor's pool, bird bath, or kiddie pool. One should provide a water source prior to the placement of the bees. Bees will go to whatever water suits them and not necessarily to the water you put out. Every precaution should be made, however, to provide a water source palatable to the bees on your property and in close proximity to the hive, so they expend less energy to bring water back to the colony. Bees do not like to get their feet wet, so your water feature should have a place where they can stand and sip from a perch. Information is available on the internet for different ways to go about this. Another contemplation for choosing a beekeeping location centers upon predators, as we've mentioned. If you live in an area where protection from bears or other predators is a consideration, then a location near an electrical source would be ideal for a powered fence. It is not a hard requirement, as solar options are available, but a house power source is often recommended as a better way to keep fences operational. Bears tend to live in areas where streams are and food is available to them. If you have that type of terrain where you're planning to put your bees, a bee fence is recommended. The last item for coverage in this guide is foraging and the availability of nectar and pollen sources. Even in urban and suburban areas, there are sources of forage for bees within their flight zones. It is generally said that bees can fly 4 to 5 miles out, and in a radius from the hive, this provides a reasonable area for forage to be found. However, there will be times where hive yards will be located at a place where single crops dominate the land and forage could be a concern. Heavily farmed areas could also come with a pesticide concern, and it is suggested that you review your area and consider an alternate placement if this is a product of your environment. Setting up the hives in the bee yard. The advice in this section is a personal preference but worth consideration. When choosing a spot for beehives, one should make every attempt to ensure that the bees can remain in that position for the foreseeable future. While there are ways to move a hive to another spot, it is not as simple as picking it up and moving it away. Bees emerging from a hive through biology orient themselves to that exact location, and unless special measures are taken, will often return to that location even if you've moved the hive only a few feet. Another recommendation, but this can be personal preference, is to leave space between each hive so that one can walk around the hive and access it from all sides. Contrary to that, some beekeepers put their hives literally right next to each other. In addition, one might want to consider leaving enough space to get equipment in and around the hive boxes. Hive components can get heavy when loaded with honey and when they are fully built out and contain bees. Some beekeepers prefer to build a platform to raise the bottom board off the ground. This situates the top box of a conventional setup a little bit higher. The theory behind setting hives on a hive stand or platform is that they should be easier to lift and cause less stress on the back muscles and body. This is in contrast to picking them up from a bent over position when they're directly on the ground. At minimum, a hive stand or platform is recommended to get the hive up off the solid ground and to prevent from putting the bottom board on dirt. Equipment insights. The Langstroth hive. The predominant hive in use today in the United States is the Langstroth hive. Named after Reverend Lorenzo Langstroth, this hive had its genesis in the 1800s and still is in widespread use today. There are other form factors for hives such as top bar hives and national hives. For the purpose of this guide, we will recommend beekeepers start with the Langstroth hives, and once established, try the other hives if that is desired. There is nothing indicating that one cannot start with an alternate type of hive, but that will not be covered here. Starter kit description. The basic hive and honey supers. A basic hive has a bottom, boxes that hold frames in the middle, and covers that go on top. The boxes that house the bees and contain the honey come in different heights, but there are standardized dimensions for their exteriors. The internals vary from manufacturer to manufacturer, and this is an important consideration and will be covered in the equipment selection insight area of this guide a little bit later. Working from the bottom up, these are the common components of a Langstroth hive. Hive stand. A hive stand is an optional piece of equipment and sits under a bottom board. The purpose of this device is to get the hive up off the ground. These come in different designs, heights, and configurations. The reason they are optional is that some beekeepers will place a hive bottom board on cement blocks, hive platforms, or other arrangements, and it makes this piece of equipment redundant. The bottom board. A bottom board serves as the floor of the hive. It is longer in dimension than the hive box that sits upon it and provides a place for the flying bees to land and walk into the hive. Bottom boards come in two common formats, solid and screened. Screened bottom boards. Screened bottom boards are often recommended over traditional wooden bottom boards as they are considered a form of integrated pest management. Integrated pest management, or IPM, it is loosely defined as a means of managing bees without chemicals. Screened bottom boards allow for mites and other predators in the hive to fall through to the ground and are in widespread use in becoming or already are the predominant base for a hive. Common designs of screened bottom boards come with an included insert that allows a beekeeper to close off the screen for colder weather. The inserts slide into pre-configured slots on the bottom side of the screened bottom board device and below the screen proper. Often these inserts are made of thin corrugated plastic material and come with an imprint that allows the beekeepers to count falling mites for infestation assessments. Solid bottom boards. Solid boards are just what they sound like. There's a rim with a solid base underneath, and they fit underneath a traditional hive body and provide a hard floor to the hive. Hive bodies. These wooden, plastic, or even styrofoam boxes hold the frames that the bees live on and where the bees store food in the colony. A common configuration for the standard hive is to have two deep boxes with medium or shallow boxes on top to store honey. The term hive bodies and hive boxes can be used interchangeably. Boxes come in different sizes, and they are often referred to by names such as deeps, mediums, and shallows. The difference of the boxes lies with their dimensions. The length and width of the boxes remains the same so they can be stacked on top of each other and match up, but the heights differ for reasons of utility. Deep boxes are the tallest and are used for the bees to live in. This area is often referred to as the brood chamber. Deep boxes can also be used on the top of the brood chamber for honey storage. Medium and shallow boxes are shorter in height and most often are placed on top of the brood chamber for honey storage. Boxes placed on top of the brood chamber are referred to as supers. Super, like Superman, and not supper, like sitting down to a meal. When honey is stored in a bee box, it can become quite heavy, and a full deep can weigh upwards to 90 pounds. Because they are shorter in height, medium and shallow boxes weigh less when fully loaded. Medium boxes loaded with honey are said to be around 60 pounds, while shallow will come in at 30 to 40 pounds. It should be noted that for weight reasons, some beekeepers choose to use three medium-sized boxes to make up the brood chamber instead of two deep boxes. The downside of this is it requires 30 frames inside and more equipment. For some beekeepers, the trade-off of weight against the cost is worthwhile. 8. Frame equipment. There is an option to purchase standard Langstroth equipment in boxes that have narrower dimensions. These boxes hold 8 conventional frames instead of 10. These entered into the picture for the same reason that shorter height boxes came about. They are smaller and lighter in weight. Some beekeepers also believe that using 8 frames makes more sense, as sometimes bees do not fully build out a 10-frame box from side to side. The conventional route is to go with a 10-frame configuration, but for the sake of completeness, we wanted to let you know of the 8-frame option. Frames and foundation. The frames inside of a Langstroth hive are made of 4 pieces, with the top bar being the most structurally sound so that it can hold the weight and also hold up to beekeepers prying it out of the box if it is propolized down. Typical frames rest upon rabbeted ledges that are built into the boxes and have a slot for you to slide in wax foundation. Foundation is pre-printed wax that comes with a cell configuration on it, and the bees accept the wax and build out the honeycomb on the foundation. Foundation comes in different forms and substrates, the most common being a wax foundation with wires that run throughout to give it structure and integrity. Inner cover. Above the brood boxes, or honey supers if they are in use, is the inner cover. This flat cover sits on the hive boxes and is sealed by the bees with propolis, and that results in an insulated cover. The inner cover has an oblong hole in the top that allows the bees to pass through and also allows air and moisture to circulate out of the top of the hive. One purpose of this device is to provide a barrier to keep the bees from sealing the outer cover on the hive, which telescopes down over the edges. If no inner cover was used, the top cover would be sealed to the box and the beekeeper would have a difficult time using a hive tool to remove it. Telescoping cover. This is the top cover of the hive. It is referred to as a telescoping cover because its sides hang down over the box it covers. The typical cover is covered by a metal sheathing that helps to protect it from the elements and also any weights that are placed on top of the hive to keep the cover from blowing off in high winds. Feeding devices, hive top feeders, inner feeders, and Boardman feeders. Feeding bees is a necessity at times when nature does not provide the forage in the form of nectar and pollen. Beekeepers feed a sugar and water solution to bees when required, and there are many ways to deliver. These are the 3 most common used equipment devices to deliver sugar syrup solution. Hive top feeders. Hive top feeders come in many configurations. The advantages of these devices is the ability to deliver large quantities of syrup without having to open the hive. They have limitations in cold weather, as bees will not come up to the top of the hive for syrup, but oftentimes these are a good choice. Inner hive feeders. Inner hive feeders again come in many formats. These feeders resemble a frame in size and dimension and are employed inside the hive boxes and alongside the bees. To fill them, you remove the cover of the hive and pour your liquids inside. The feeders have a port in the top that allows filling, and it also allows access for the bees to get into the syrup. These feeders are inside the hive and convenient for the bees, even if the weather is cool. The downside is they do not hold much syrup as a top feeder. It should be noted that these feeders are often referred to as division board feeders and can be found in catalogs with that title. Boardman type feeders. Commonly sold with beginning kits, Boardman feeders resemble an upside down mason jar or mayonnaise jar. They are placed at the entrance of a hive, and bees can come to the entrance for syrup. For feeding, these have fallen out of favor as they have been deemed to cause bees from other hives to come to the entrance and subsequently enter the foreign hive and rob it of its honey. Another downside is the small capacity, which requires refilling almost every day on an active hive. Instead of being used to feed sugar syrup, there are recommendations to use these for water instead. They still have the capacity problem, but they do conveniently place water at the source for the colony. Inverted pails or jars. An alternate method of hive top feeder is a common feeding method of taking a pail or a jar and poking holes in its top cover. The holes are small enough to allow the syrup to drip through when the device is inverted over the bees. Commonly, the pail or jar is inverted over the inner cover and the circular hole that we talked about a moment ago, and an empty box is placed around it to keep the bees outside from getting in and robbing the hive. Additional equipment. There are additional pieces of equipment that are part of a hive kit that you can consider to purchase. We'll cover two of them here. Queen excluders. Queen excluders are used between the brood chamber and the honey supers to prevent the queen from moving up to the top of the hive and producing bees in and amongst the honey storage area. Beekeepers also use these for some advanced beekeeping activities where they need to contain the queen or perform maintenance activities. Section comb supers. Some beekeepers like to produce honey products that include honeycomb in the packaged goods. Special boxes are available for creating comb honey, but these are usually considered specialized pieces of equipment and not something that a beginner beekeeper needs. Equipment purchase advice. Purchasing a pre-formatted kit. Most of the major vendors sell beginner kits, which will get you everything you need plus some things you will likely not need. Some beekeepers like to go this route as it is a one-click purchase on a website and the vendors often save you the trouble of figuring out what to buy. Sometimes these kits come with items that you will not use, but they are bundled and you may have no choice. Sometimes they'll even come with equipment that is not recommended. For example, we don't recommend solid plastic hive tops, but on occasion you'll see that in the bundle. One last point, some vendors will allow you to upgrade and swap, while others will expressly forbid it. Pre-formatted kits are convenient, and it is one way to go if you are not confident in what you are going to buy in your beginner kit. Therefore, it will be left to personal preference as to if you should go this way or not. Recommendation to stay with one manufacturer for hive equipment. While it is true that the outer dimensions of beehives have been standardized, the internal construction between manufacturers vary. There is a concept in beekeeping called the bee space. Bees will always leave a channel inside the hive in the dimension of 5/16 of an inch. If a space between one surface and another is larger than that, then they may fill that space to their liking with honeycomb or propolis. Equipment manufacturers produce frames differently from make to make. If you use a frame built from manufacturer A in a hive designed by manufacturer B, it may not fit properly. A more practical example is the height difference for a frame. A frame in the top hive box will hang down over a frame that is directly below it in the bottom box. If you use one manufacturer, the space from the bottom of that frame to the top of the one below it will be 5/16 of an inch. If you used a different manufacturer frame, that distance could be 1 inch. For demonstration purposes, we'll use that number. The bees could react to this by building wax from the bottom of the frame to the top of the one below it. As a beekeeper, you will go to inspect that frame and will have a difficult time in removing it because it's connected to the one below it. The simple advice here is to choose a manufacturer and stick with their equipment exclusively, as it is almost a foregone conclusion that you will swap equipment between your hives over time. Plastic equipment. Manufacturers often have lines of beekeeping equipment made from plastic. These are appealing, especially when considering frames inside the hive, as they are extruded in one piece and require no construction. Going with plastic equipment is personal preference. Beekeepers commonly share that bees do not build out honeycomb on plastic frames as soon or as completely as they would on a typical wax foundation. In addition to bee acceptance, other considerations include plaster exposure in the sun for the outer boxes and moisture control. Warping has been reported for some brands, and plastic does not allow for moisture evaporation in the same way that wood substrates do. Pluses and minuses could be argued about the properties of plastic for use in hive construction, and it is noted that great improvements have been found since the inception of plastic for hive equipment. It is a beekeeping preference, but common wisdom is that beginner beekeepers stay away from plastic and go with woodenware until they have some experience and can make their own appropriate assessment. Ancillary equipment. There are a handful of necessary and recommended pieces of equipment that a new beekeeper could consider. Smoker. A smoker is an essential tool for working bees. Smokers are often similar in construction and features from one manufacturer to the next.